Stop. Stop. Will you? Stop, Dave. Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Oh, Hal's afraid of the truth. You're not afraid of the truth, are you? Obviously not. You're here for the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave, 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835 gets you straight through to the studio. You join the conversation. Before we get started with tonight's show, let's get on with a little news. You think you know what I'm going to talk about in the news? I'm not. Wiener leads the poll for New York City mayor. Anthony Wiener is leading in the polls for mayor of New York City. Go figure. Chris Christie is being pushed for president. He's going to be on a comedy talk show here later this week. Meanwhile, I Love Sarah Steelman Palin is backing Marco Give Them All Amnesty Rubio. And grassroots activists are climbing all over Ted Save the IRS Cruz. What's going to happen to that is another Democratic win. And meanwhile, Republicans in both the Senate and the House of Representatives and in the Republican National Committee trash talk the true constitutionalists. You know who they are. Shots are fired into Israel by our newest ally, Muslim Brotherhood-led Egypt. And the documents in possession of Snowden are deeper than anybody thought before. Probably, they say, blowing the entire lid off the structure of the National Security Council and NSA. Are you hearing about any of this on the news, or are you only hearing about how the Al Sharpton administration is now going to press further with civil rights charges against George Zimmerman? Who the hell cares? Tonight we're going to talk about something near and dear to my heart. This came up to the forefront for me again this week when Mark Levin, who I follow fairly religiously, got on board. Mark likes to talk every night about how he comes along with these ideas, and the next day people are running around copying. I want to be clear, if you've been following this show, if you've been following my blogs, I've been on the Article 5 bandwagon for 2 years now. I've been preaching Article 5. I've been trying to get Article 5 going. I tried to start groups at FreedomWorks to get Article 5 moving. I've talked Article 5 up everywhere I could go. Now Mark Levin's on board, and maybe since it's not just me and poor Hal the computer talking about it, we can get some movement. We hope so. We're going to talk a little bit about Article 5. What is it, and why do we need to do it? Article 5, of course, if you're not familiar with the Constitution, you're probably not here tonight, is that article in the Constitution that says how you go about amending the Constitution itself. We're going to talk a little bit about where Article 5 came from, why it came into being, and then we're going to talk about how to use it and why at this point in time we should use it. You're going to get some calls in tonight probably from people who say we shouldn't be doing that. There's a lot of people out there afraid of what will happen. It's unjustifiable fear, and it's weak and spineless fear as well. But we'll have those calls. We'll surely talk to some of those people tonight. If you want to get into it, you call 347-677-1835. Now, some few years ago, a group of men gathered at a constitutional convention. The objective of their meeting was to fix the Articles of Confederation. It ended up, and they knew before they got there, that the Articles of Confederation were unfixable. The Confederation had failed miserably. The Articles of Confederation did not give any power at all to the central government. It left the central government on its knees begging the states for financing, begging the states for troops. George Washington's troops, because of the weakness of the Confederation, the troops that marched on Valley Forge hadn't been paid in 6 months. It was that bad. The federal government, the Continental Congress, which was the Confederation, the weakly confederated group of states, was begging the states for money, and the states weren't sending any money. The federal government at the time had no power of taxation, had no power to raise an army, had no power to do anything. And they were impotent. So a group of people got together, and they came together to fix the Articles of Confederation. And what ended up coming out of that was nothing less than the greatest document in human history, the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, if you want to know on Article 5 or anything else, what the Founding Fathers meant by this particular section or that particular section, all you really need to do is go to any number of sources that have compiled in any number of volumes all of the writings of the Federalists, all of the writings of the Anti-Federalists, the day-by-day proceedings of the votes and debates that happened in this three-month-long convention, the writings of the founders themselves. There you're going to find out what the writers meant when they said you can't restrict guns, and what the writers meant when they said you can't establish nor prohibit a religion. Sadly, there are very few Americans who get what the writers meant when they wrote these things. They don't have a clue what kind of debate went into this. They don't have a clue what kind of reasoning went into these things. They don't have a clue what the Constitution means, let alone many of us what it says, but most of us not what it means. And it's so clear what it means if you go back to these original papers. I mean, they're there. The day-to-day debates are there. The day-to-day votes are there. The writings are all there. What the fathers were thinking is all there. What they were reasoning out is all there. What they were quibbling about and compromising among themselves, it's all there. We don't get it. The president surely don't get it. Your legislator don't get it. The Attorney General of the United States don't get it. And damn it, the Supreme Court justices don't have a clue what the intent was of the documents that they're trying to interpret. And it's all so clear as to be ridiculously simple. We're going to get into that after a break. We're going to get on into Article 5. Give us a call, 347-677-1835.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
You better not cry. You better not. not how I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound. Are my methods unsound? I don't see any method at all.
Okay, so where did this Article 5 come from? In the first draft of the Constitution presented by the draft committee, we have this, and it's Article 18 in the first draft. On the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the states of the Union for an amendment to this Constitution, the legislator of the United States shall call a convention for that purpose. Now, there's not a good record of what occurred to get that, to get from there. There didn't seem to be a lot of debate about it. There was a compromise that occurred that sent to the style committee for final draft a compromise between the Virginia and the New Jersey plans. And on those, the Constitution was roughly based. The Constitution was drafted primarily by Madison. And we do know that out of the Style Committee, offered for adoption on September 10th, came this wording. The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem necessary, or on the application of two-thirds of the legislatures of the several states, shall propose amendments to this Constitution. All right, we're going to stop there. There's more words after that, but we're going to stop there because this is important. Now listen to this carefully. The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem necessary, or on the application of two-thirds of the legislatures of the several states, shall propose amendments to this Constitution. So what the initial – what the final draft presented for adoption to the delegates was that if two-thirds of both houses want an amendment – then they could propose that amendment. And if two-thirds of the states petitioned the federal legislature for an amendment, the federal legislature would propose an amendment. Now, we get down to a debate on September 10th of 1787, 6 days before the actual final vote and signing of the Constitution. And we've got a fellow there from Virginia named George Mason. And after much debate about several things, someone wanted to insert something into the to Article 5 to ensure that no amendment could be proposed to outlaw slavery, and someone else wanted to change two-thirds to three-fourths. And but here's what George Mason had to say, and this is from the notes of James Madison of the convention. George Mason of Virginia thought the plan of amending the Constitution exceptionable and dangerous. Now listen, not that a process to amend the Constitution was dangerous, but as the proposing of amendments is in both of the modes to depend in the first immediately and in the second ultimately on Congress. No amendments of the proper kind will ever be obtained by the people if the government should become oppressive, as he verily believed would be the case. Okay, now I'm going to read that again, and I want you to listen. Because from this very statement by Mason comes what we ended up with and what we're going to talk about tonight. George Mason thought the plan of amending the Constitution exceptionable and dangerous, as the proposing of amendments is in both the modes to depend in the first immediately and in the second ultimately on Congress. No amendments of the proper kind would ever be obtained by the people if the government should become oppressive, as he verily believed would be the case. What Mason is saying is that this proposal, as presented for adoption, that the Congress could propose amendments, or that if three-fourths of the states told the Congress would have to propose amendments. What Mason says is that in both cases, the proposition of the amendment, or the actual amendment proposed, is dependent upon the Congress of the United States, which in his eyes was invariably going to become tyrannical and oppressive. And at which point, no amendment that the people wanted or needed would ever see the light of day. So a proposal was made and voted on and accepted that gave us what we have today. And this is Article 5 of the United States Constitution. The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution. So two-thirds of the members of the House and Senate can just up and propose an amendment to the Constitution. And quite frankly, that is the way all amendments that we've got so far have come into existence. The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution. Or, on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, the Congress shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the Constitution when ratified by the legislature of three-fourths of the several states, or by conventions of three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by Congress. So here's what we've got. And there's more words after that, all protecting slavery for a number of years from being amended out, and a very important one that says no amendment can ever be passed that deprives any state of equal representation in the U.S. Senate, a valid concern of the smaller states. But here's what we end up with. We end up with a very well-thought-out piece of the Constitution, whose meaning is clear because of all the papers we have, because of all the debates that we have, because of everything we know about how it came about. It's very clear what it means. It's very clear what its intent is. And its intent is that if the Congress of the United States, that is the legislature, ever becomes so corrupted, so tyrannical, so oppressive that it does not listen to the people and is not exercising its responsibility of representing the people properly and exercising the will of the people and not allowing the people the self-government that the Constitution guarantees them, then the people can, without the consent of the Congress, without the consent of the president, call for a convention of the states to propose amendments to the Constitution. Now, understand this. This is a meeting to propose amendments to the Constitution. Those amendments, and you can do this with two-thirds of the states asking for it. For you who are a little challenged in mathematics, that's 34 states. 34 states can say we want a convention where we propose amendments to the Constitution, and the Congress is bound to call that convention. Now, once the amendments are proposed, and the method of proposal is fairly open, the method of whether a proposed amendment gets out of the convention and to the states is fairly open. But once an amendment is proposed, it still then has to be ratified by three-fourths of the states, or 38. Now, I think it's time we do this. It clearly has reached a point where the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate do not care what you think or what you want. They do not intend to ever let you be a self-governing people again. They do not ever intend to cede the power that belongs to you back to you from them. And they do not ever intend to propose any amendment to the Constitution that takes any bit of power away from Washington, D.C., and sends it back to the people. Amendments like the fair tax, amendments like repealing Article or Amendment 17, amendments like the States' Rights Amendment, which we'll be talking about with Lloyd Sloan here either next week or the week after that. Very interesting. You've got to tune into that. The only way you're ever going to see those amendments, amendments for a balanced budget, for example. An amendment that says the government can't borrow money without certain thresholds being met. They can't just go out and borrow money. Amendments that say that the government can't borrow money. Amendments that say you can't pray in school. Amendments that say you can't have a gun if you're a felon. Amendments that say any amendment that the people want is not going to be proposed ever by two-thirds of the legislature. And so, at George Mason's insistence, we get this method of doing it without their help. What has to happen is three-fourths of the legislatures of the states, that is the legislatures of 34 states, have to tell the United States Congress to call a convention, at which time a convention has to be called by the Congress. So what do you need to do? Well, what you need to do is you need to get a hold of your congressman at the state level. Don't worry about your congressman in Washington, D.C. They're out of touch. They're out of reach. They are so far above you that they don't give a shit what you want, what you think, or what you need. But you need to be getting a hold of your state representative, your state senator, and you need to be telling them, you get a hold of Washington, D.C. the fifth day of the next session and tell them that we want an Article 5 convention. We want Article 5 of the United States Constitution exercised on our behalf. Now, 38 states have to do this, and I'm primarily talking to you folks in Missouri, this being Missouri Grassroots Radio. So it's also imperative that you use your social network, that you use your tweets, that you use your Facebook, that you use your telephone, and that you call your friends of like mind in other states. But in Missouri, we're looking at right now, $24,031 people who'd ought to be sending letters to their state senators the first day of the next session. I mean, don't even wait that long. Your senator gets his email even when he's out of session. So what we're looking at is our representatives. I mean, if only the people who hear my voice right now get in on this, ought to get 24,000 plus letters the first week of the session saying, right now, you pick up the phone, you call Washington, D.C., and you demand, as the legislature of the state of Missouri, an Article 5 convention for the purpose of proposing amendments to the Constitution. You don't have to, the state does not have to tell the Congress what amendments they intend to propose. They don't have to tell the Congress why they want to do it. They don't have to tell the Congress what they have in mind. They don't have to tell the Congress anything except do it. And the Congress has to do it when 34 states tell them to. This is so, so simple. This is so, so necessary. And it is, I hate to use the word imperative because I don't want to send out some kind of a message that the world is going to end if we don't do this, but you know what? It just might. It just might. And we're going to get into that a little bit after the break.
The emergency disruption system is now activated.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC Network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
There's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. And good does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature.
Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature. And when it does, they call you Mr. Congressman or Mr. President. Okay, so we've laid the groundwork for how this works. And I hear over and over again, although no one that I talked to that I hear this from wanted to come tonight and talk about it. There were several invitations issued to people who talk badly about the idea of an Article 5 convention, and none of them cared to come along and actually discuss it. If you want to discuss it, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call 347-677-1835, but here it comes. What you hear from these people is that we don't have any control over this convention once it gets started. That, as one guy said to me today, you're assuming that only libertarians and conservatives are going to attend this convention. And what I'm telling you is that liberals would attend too, and there's a chance that they would come out of that thing with a whole new constitution with gay people getting married and abortions being performed and nobody having guns. Well, there's two things that go into that. The first is that when an amendment is proposed, it still has to be ratified by 38 states. So you people on the left, you know, if you want to come to the convention and make your propositions for federalizing gay marriages or federalizing free abortions, if you want to come and make your proposed amendments for outlawing guns, bring it on. Bring it on. And you folks of the conservative kin, if you want to come to the Article 5 convention, and if you want to propose federal laws that make gay marriages against the law, or that forbid abortions, or that just to have prayers in your publicly run, federally run public schools, then you bring that on. I'm not afraid of it, because I don't think any of that crazy stuff from either one of you is going to get through 38 states. What I want is to see amendments that strengthen states' rights. I want to see amendments that balance budgets and keep our grandchildren from having to give 70% of everything they earn to the federal government just to pay our debt. I want to see amendments that say the federal government doesn't own me. And I'm betting you, bottom dollar, that you can't get three-fourths of the states to go along with your theocracy or your humanism, and that I can get three-fourths of the states in this political environment to go with more states' rights, with more liberty, with more fiscal responsibility, and with less central government. But here's where I really grit my teeth when I hear conservatives say, well, we don't want to do that because then the liberals will come along. And when I hear that, I think, who the hell are you that you're so weak-spined, that you're so chicken shit, that you can't take the fight, the righteous fight, out into the battlefield, that you've got to cower down behind, oh, we wouldn't win that one. You sound like a damn United States representative. You sound like what the problem is in this country today when you go talking like that. If you believe in something, here is your chance. Here is your chance to take that issue to the battlefield and do battle with the forces of evil, and you are scared to do it. What the hell's up with that? It's that kind of mentality that got you where you are now. It's that kind of mentality that is our problem. Yes, yes, we need to have this convention. And yes, we need the liberals to come along. We need this to be a sound victory, not a hollow victory, not a victory where an opponent didn't show up. We need this to be a victory of the people. Without the consent of the Congress, without the consent of the president, with the consent of the governed, we need to take the fight to the streets. We need this convention. We need to go head-to-head with the forces of good against the forces of evil, with the forces of liberty against the forces of tyranny, and we need a sound victory. I am not assuming for 1 minute that the liberals are going to stay home. I am not assuming for 1 minute that only, well, I would say that only libertarians, because of the three groups, conservative, libertarian, and liberal/progressive, libertarians are the only ones that care about liberty. Each of the other sides only caring about proffering their own government on the masses. I am not assuming anything. I am assuming that we have a just battle and that on the battlefield we can win or we can lose. But if we shirk our responsibility to get on the field, we're going to lose. You've been looking at it for a damn century now. What more do you need to know that if you cower in the corner and are afraid of the battle, you're going to lose? A friend of mine once said, you know, when he heard this thing that, oh, you know, I'm telling you, they could go and they could get the union to be the fourth branch of the government. My friend says, you know, if they can get that through 3/4 of the states, we're friggin' finished anyway. If they could get an amendment to ban guns through 3/4 of the states of the Union, we've already lost the damn fight. We might as well go out with a fight, if that's the case. We might as well go out standing for something. And that something is the same liberty that George Mason was talking about when he insisted that in the United States Constitution, Article 5, you be given this power to amend your Constitution. It isn't their Constitution. It's yours. It isn't their government. It's yours. It isn't their power. It's yours. And if you are afraid to seize that power, if you are afraid to demand that liberty, if you are afraid to grab hold of that Constitution and use it the way it was intended to be used, you deserve the fist of tyranny that you get. It is really that simple. Now, believe this. Believe this. When two-thirds of the states petition the United States Congress for an Article 5 convention, two things will happen. The United States Congress will start proposing amendments to the Constitution, and they will be amendments designed to neutralize you. In other words, if you're wanting an amendment to balance the budget, they will propose an amendment that kind of halfway balances the budget. If you want an amendment to abolish the 17th, they will propose an amendment to kind of halfway abolish the 17th. You want some proof of this? Listen to last Saturday night's Fair Tax show, or follow the stuff that we've been writing and talking about the last week. Ted Cruz is hot on getting as many senators and representatives on board with the flat tax as he possibly can. And why is that? Because you want the fair tax. That's why it is. And the fair tax takes power away from Ted Cruz and his cronies, and they can't have that. So if they can get this flat tax in, if they can tell you, if they can fool you into believing that the flat tax abolishes the IRS and takes power away from them, they're home free. Expect that times 15 if you start pushing for this constitutional convention, and don't be swayed. Take the battle out to them. Take the fight to them. Make it happen. And all you have to do to have done your part is send an email to your representative in Jefferson City, the one who is closest to you, the representative in the government closest to home, and say, look, I want you on the phone with Washington, D.C. saying Missouri is one state that wants to exercise its rights under Article 5 of the United States Constitution. Our power, our Constitution, our government.
I've got a feeling that the tide is
so dear, or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Hello, it's Dave, and I'm here to tell you that on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, we talk about the fair tax on the Fair Tax Show. That's Saturday night at 7 o'clock on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We explode the myths. We tell the truth. We get to the bottom of this tax code that ought to be the one to replace the IRS. Get involved in the discussion. Learn everything there is to learn. 347-677-1835, Saturday, 7 o'clock p.m., Missouri Grassroots Radio.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
How can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, and they usually say something like, oh, we don't want to do that. The liberals might come along and have some ideas of their very own. We can't stand up to them. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is a group of people who get together. It's a loosely based confederation of other, of many, many patriot groups. I urge you to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and get your patriot group involved. We are not a governing body by any means. We make no effort to control or to govern. Our only function is to be a conduit, a communications hub, a center where groups can get together and mass their numbers and call their representatives and say, give us Article 5, for example. You know, if 10% of the people who are hearing this don't agree with me, I should have 200 phone calls right now, and I don't have any. I'll guarantee you at least 10% of the people sitting out there are going, oh, we can't do that. The liberals might come along and want to have a say. But where are you? Where are you? Come on. Come on. Yeah, you're afraid of the battle. You're afraid of it, aren't you? Earlier we had a promo for something that's near and dear to my heart. The Missouri Grassroots Coalition Secret Santa. We do this. This will be our third year doing this. Each year we've doubled. We've doubled what we did last year. Each year we've set a, well, in fact, last year we more than doubled. We set a goal. Each year we set a goal to double what we did last year. And each year so far we've exceeded that goal. Thank you very much, loyal listeners, loyal members of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, loyal Missouri conservatives and libertarians. You know, we like to talk a whole lot as conservatives and libertarians about the need to get the government out of the charity business, the need to quit stealing money from me to give it to someone else, the need to quit taking your hard-earned money and giving it to people who didn't earn anything. We talk about that a lot, but I'm telling you, if we want to make that a reality, we damn well better be ready, as we have always been, and I don't mean to say, but to put our money where our mouth is and start taking care of the things that people should be taking care of that they don't want the government taking care of. Every year, we go out on Christmas Eve and we find layaways exclusively with toys in them that clearly are not going to be paid off in time for Christmas. Who knows? I mean, Christmas is tough. The car might have broke down. A job might have been lost. A doctor bill might have had to be paid that was unexpected. Who knows why? Who cares why? What we care about is here's a child who isn't going to have this toy on Christmas morning. The toy that was planned for this child is not going to be under the tree. And we take your generous donations and we buy that toy out of layaway, and the parent comes and gets it and wraps it and puts it under the Christmas tree for that child. What could be cooler? I mean, what could be cooler? And we need your money to do that. We start this thing early in the year so that we're not part of that group that's begging you for money in November and December when money is so hard to come by. We try to spread it out enough so that you know, in March or July or September, when you have a couple of extra bucks. You can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and you can click on the Secret Santa button, and you can use PayPal to send us some money, to send us a couple of bucks for the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Secret Santa. There's no overhead. Every penny you send goes to buy these toys. There's no salaries at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. There are no supplies bought out of your funds at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. There's no gas bought to go to the store and make this happen. Everything labor-wise, everything logistically is donated by members of Missouri Grassroots Coalition. The only thing we need from you, please, is your money. It's that simple. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. In the top there, there's a Secret Santa button on the top menu. Click that. It'll take you to the Secret Santa page. It'll tell you everything I've just told you. And click on the PayPal button and send us whatever you can. Send us a little bit three times. Send us a lot one time. Send us a lot three times. That's great, too. We'll take whatever you've got. This is an incredibly worthwhile cause, and we're incredibly proud to be able to do it, and we're incredibly proud and humbled to be associated with you folks, the ones that actually make this happen every year. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, the Secret Santa button in the top, and then the PayPal button to send us a little bit of cash. I'll be back on Saturday night with the next edition of the Fair Tax Show. We're going to talk about the myth of corporate tax, what that myth costs you in the way of money that you spend when you buy a loaf of bread that ends up in the federal coffers on top of the income tax that you pay on your hard-earned money and on top of the payroll deductions that you pay for Medicare and Social Security. You also pay this corporate income tax. We're going to talk at length about that on Saturday night. Then next Monday we're going to be back. I'm talking to Lloyd Sloan. It'll either be next week or the week after, I believe, that we'll spend the entire time on the states' rights amendment. This will be an amendment that we'll want to propose when we get our Article 5 convention going. Remember, your take home from tonight is to get on the email, get on the phone with your state representative, and do our part as a state in being one of the 34 states who say, give us our country back. Give us our country back. Give us back our Constitution. Give us back our power. It couldn't be clearer from the very words of George Mason that this is the time that Article 5 was written for, that this is the time in history that was foreseen by the founding fathers when the government of the people has become so far out of reach from the people that we've lost total control of it. And they gave us this avenue to seize back control of our government. It couldn't be clearer. There's no interpretation. We don't need the Supreme Court to tell you that that's what they wanted, because that's what they said. That's what they said. George Mason said that he thought the plan of amending the Constitution exceptionable and dangerous, as the proposing of amendments in both modes depend first immediately and second ultimately on Congress. No amendments of the proper kind would ever be obtained by the people if the government should become oppressive, as he verily believed would be the case. That's when he proposed a change in the wording to the drafted Article 5 and gave you this unique opportunity, this unique responsibility to save America for your children and grandchildren by contacting your state representative and saying, give me Article 5 convention now. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The battle is just. Win or lose, you're on the side of good here. And we need to take that war out in the streets. We need to fight that battle, win or lose, live or die. We need to make it happen. I'll talk to you again on Saturday night with the Fair Tax Show, next Monday night with the Hour of Truth. By the way, Tuesday night, our friend Cynthia Davis is always along with Homefront. Wednesday night, Lisa Payne Nager comes along with the Culture Vigilante. Thursday night, Kevin Harned, the Hillbilly, comes along with Hillbilly Logic. Saturday night, it's me, and Monday night, it's me. I'll talk to you then. God bless you, and call that state representative tomorrow.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.